Hey guys, day five of the Ireland in 32 Day project. I'm sitting here in Burb in County Tyrone with Fergus McAnallan, my host, who has been very generous and wide and fascinating in his storytelling about the past and the present. Also in front of me is Brendan McAnallan, the father of Cormac McAnallan, the late GAA player for Tyrone, who was one of the star players in the 2003 All-Ireland final, and who I a name and face that I came to know quite well in spite of having never played or encountered GAA. And it's great to have you guys. In front of me, as I look out the window, it's a beautiful day. I can see the old walls of the Priory and the main street in Benburb. I look a bit further across the headland and I can actually see Armagh and the River Blackwater. Anyway, I want to hand it over to Brendan here. He's a businessman, but he's also a historian, and he's written a number of articles and helped write books. And the stories that he has are quite amazing. I just want to ask you, first of all, can you tell us a bit about O'Neill and the Battle of Benburb and what happened in this area?
I suppose if I could start with Benburb itself, it means the Proud Peak. And the Proud Peak is, it's the village of Benburb sits, especially the castle of Shin O'Neill, sits on a very proud peak, about 200 feet above the river, straight up a rock formation, and that's where it gets its name from. John O'Donovan, during the 1834 Ordnance Survey, said that basically, Benburb was probably Port Rhi, which means port or fort of the kings. Now, Port of the Kings would have been much earlier than the O'Neills because it was such a defensive position. Mm-hmm. Now, during the 1640s, there was a new generation after the plantation of natives, and they were beginning very eager to get their land back because it was taken from them during the plantation of Ulster. Now, during the plantation, Sir Richard Wingfield later got all this land around Benburb, 2,000 acres it said, but there was actually 9,000 acres on this estate. And basically, Wingfield got that as a result of his fighting at the Battle of Kinsale. He was one of the main generals in the Battle of Kinsale for the Mountjoy. Now, in this particular area, Onru O'Neill was bringing an Ulster army together, mostly of peasants, and he was getting them prepared more or less because the Puritan idea of was rising in England, particularly in Scotland, and they wanted to put King Charles down, and there was a civil war brewing in England, and it was eventually come, and O'Neill sided with Charles against the Puritans of Scotland, and the Scottish English army arrived here under General Munro, a Scotchman. And most of the army would have been Scotch, although there'd been some Native Irish and some English, and I suppose maybe some Catholics too on the Munro's army. And they had intended to come to march to Kilkenny. They arrived at Carrickfergus to come through Armagh, landed at Armagh, and were heading for Benburb to cross sea. What opposition was, they got word that O'Neill was camped at Benburb. Now, O'Neill had no intention of coming to Benburb. He was at Glasslough when he got word that Munro was coming, and he decided to pick his place for battle. So he went to Benburb and he says, right, come and get me. Two O'Neill previously had a victory on the very same site, and O'Neill used much the same tactics. Come and get us, delay them, put obstacles in the way, do as much as you can to make this army tired by the time they arrive here, and let them think that we are only a small army, and basically play the thing down. Munro couldn't wait to get it, O'Neill. He thought it was only a matter of going and crushing him and pushing him out of the road. And whenever he arrived here, he realised that he couldn't get across the river at Benburb. He had to march, O'Neill made him march the whole road to Killin and get crossing the river to come and meet him. So it was a delaying tactic all day for about maybe 6, 7, 8 hours before they landed actually at the battle site here just outside the village. O'Neill in the meantime was camped here where the Priory is now. That castle was taken over during the 1640s by the Irish. Wakefield still were officially the British owners of the whole estate, but the natives had risen at this particular time and were giving the planters a hell of a time during the 1640s.
Yeah.
Now, whenever the Scottish army landed, they camped at the Dyon, they marched down the road. O'Neill stopped them about 2.5 miles out the road here to delay them again at a small valley, if you want to call it, or a gorge, called Ballochkilgavel. And basically, when we thought this was the war, this is where we're meeting them now, but it was only O'Neill's tactic to run away.
Yeah.
Fire at them, stop them for long enough, and then retreat back to Benburb so they would follow you.
Yeah.
So Monroe rushed, couldn't wait again, rushed after this group of Irish that O'Neill sent out. And whenever they did come here and got their guns and all set up on Big Hill and O'Neill on the other side, O'Neill's army wasn't fully showing. They had half of the army behind the hill. So Monroe thought that they'd fire the big guns, but when they fired the big guns, the cannon fell short because O'Neill had worked out that he was high enough up the hill that they were ineffective.
Yeah.
And he waited for the Scottish, made the first move, and they moved and they were slaughtered. And then O'Neill already sent his cavalry to Dunyan to stop Monroe's brother coming to join him.
Yeah.
And about 8 o'clock in the evening, this roar and the thunder of horses come running over the hill, and Monroe thought it was his brother's army, but Monroe was very surprised because it was O'Neill's army. O'Neill had sent out a considerable number of his horsemen to Dunyan, cut off that the support, and they come back and they rounded Monroe's army, and Monroe's army had nowhere to go, only the river. And the O'Neill then decided to make the charge, and he made the charge with as many pikemen as he could.
Yeah.
And they pushed them back down towards the river to a place called the Battleford Bridge to this day, which was the main area of slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You must remember there's 5,000 Turks in each army, roughly. It might be more one way or the other, 5,000 to 6,000 on each side. Apparently there was 3,500 killed on Monroe's side.
Right.
Well, anybody that couldn't get away was slaughtered, and there was a few got away, including Monroe himself.
Yeah.
But O'Neill lost something like 280 and a few injured. It was really an annihilation.
Yeah, yeah.
But as O'Neill said, they come to get me. I didn't go to get them.
Yeah.
He was defending his territory.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There was a local Franciscan monastery in the Bronthry, and there was a friar there who records the whole event. And he said that they chased him into the darkness that night for many miles from here.
Yeah.
So anybody that gone away were very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the only battle that the Irish had over English at that time?
Well, no. There would have been ongoing skirmishes all the time, but this was a field battle.
Yeah.
And remember what I said?
Yeah.
O'Neill was fighting basically here and supported King Charles of England.
Yeah.
But King Charles, the Catholic cause here was supportive of King Charles.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the only victory of the Irish over the English. That's what I'm saying.
No. Previously, Hugh O'Neill had a major victory just 2 miles down the road.
Okay.
At a place called the Yellow Ford.
Right.
That was in 1598.
Okay. So this is in 1646. Okay. But can you tell us quickly? We've only got just over a minute left. Tell us how, bring us right up to just after the Second World War, where in the end, the Wakefields, who were the landlords, not long after that, had sort of ruled supreme over the area, handed the area down through the landlords over the generations, until just after the Second World War, where this great handover almost.
After
we've only got a minute left.
After the 1640s, after the Battle of Benburb, Cromwell's armies landed and they raided all over Ireland and basically got control. The Wakefields were back here in Benburb. A lot of Presbyterian settlers landed here at that time too, after the Cromwellian conquest. And basically after that there was just an uneasiness between the natives and this new Scotch plantation of Presbyterians, and it come to a head at the Battle of the Diamond. The Battle of the Diamond basically was the first major sectarian conflict, you could call it. It wasn't a real battle.
This isn't going to go the whole way through.
It wasn't a real battle. It was a battle between...
Just record a second version.
Guys, we're going to pause it right there, and you'll be able to hear the rest in part two of this. Just check out the other link.